This session today is session 11 in our study of Christ in the Old Testament. The title of it is A Prophet Like Moses. Our central passage today in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 22. And the answer to that in the New Testament is Acts 3, 22 to 26. But we'll also be looking at a number of other passages. Since the title of this class is Prophet, Priest, and King, I decided it was just about time that we dug into the first word of that title, prophet. These three offices, prophet, priest, and king, were ordained by God and responsible for leading the nation of Israel. What ties them together under a study of the Messiah is that they all were anointed to their office. Thus, all three could be termed, in a generic sense, Messiahs. Christs in the Greek. That is, they were all anointed, Mashiach in the Hebrew. But also recall the essential differences between the three. And these are represented in the graphic for this class. First, the purple arrows pointing right and left represent the king. The king ruled the people, in other words, horizontally, for God, or in the name of God. The priest, represented by the red arrow pointing up, represented the people to God. He stood in the gap between the people and God, but he spoke for the people to God. And finally, with the brown arrow pointing down, this represents the prophet, who spoke to the people from God. He spoke for God to the people. And only the Messiah could and would be all three. The Messiah, the one Messiah. The principal Old Testament reference for a systematic prophecy of the Messiah as prophet, and by the way, this is the last messianic prophecy in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. This is found in Deuteronomy 18. Here Moses, a prophet in his own right, as well as a type of Christ, speaking to the people words from God, tells Israel that, quote, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me," end quote. And from the passage we glean specific requirements that will identify and validate the Messiah. Now, not all agree that this is a messianic prophecy. Some scholars say this just refers to the prophets that would come later, but textually, it seems to refer to just one. It says a prophet, not many prophets. And centuries later, even the people of Israel certainly interpreted it that way. Look at what they said at the feeding of the 5,000. Look at John 6, verses 13 to 14. John 6, 13 to 14. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. And so they gathered them up, what was left over, that is, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is of a truth the prophet who is to come into the world." The prophet. And recall what the Jewish leaders asked John the Baptist in John 1. In John 1, 20 to 21, it says, "And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ, They asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So Israel was looking for a prophet, the prophet, spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. And though they delineated between the prophet and the Christ, they obviously referred to just one specific prophet. Notice in that John 1 passage, it's implied that they asked, "Are you the Christ?" And then later they asked, "Are you the prophet?" So they did not put the two together, but they saw them nevertheless as individual entities, individual persons. This passage with Christ Jesus. So all in all, we are in good company interpreting Deuteronomy as a messianic prophecy. Our passage is preceded in verses 9 to 14 by the command that when the people of Israel come into Canaan, the promised land, they should not listen to fortune tellers and to diviners as the people of Canaan did. No, quote, "The Lord your God has not allowed you to do this," end quote. Instead, he would send them a prophet like Moses. So let's read our passage, verses 15 to 19 in Deuteronomy 18. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die.' The Lord said to me, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" So let's get right to it. On the second page of your handout, we have a list of 8 characteristics gleaned from the text that the prophet, the prophesied prophet, must have. Our purpose in this session is to validate each one of these in Jesus the Nazarene. The first one is the prophet will be called by God. From verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." This prophet, indeed any true prophet, must be called by God himself. As William Varner puts it, quote, "No self-ordained preacher could claim this role," end quote. One cannot speak for God if one is not called by God. That's a pretty high calling, a pretty high standard. But Jesus went one better. He was not just called by God. He was sent from God. Look at Galatians 4:4, this familiar passage that we hear every Christmas. Galatians 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Sent forth. The starting point was heaven itself. And from that pristine dwelling, the Son was dispatched, sent out on a mission to earth. And once here, on at least 2 occasions, the Father validated that connection. You see that in the 2 verses on the right-hand side of the page in your handout. When he was baptized by John the Baptist and on the Mount when he was was seen in all his glory. Now, two, this prophet must be an Israelite. Also from verse 15, a prophet from among you, from your countrymen. We've already covered extensively the lineage of the Messiah, so we needn't dwell here long. But note the contrast of this with the preceding message. Verse 9 in Deuteronomy 18. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Yahweh insisted that Israel get its teaching and guidance straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. The Lord would speak to them through the men of his own choosing, not the Canaanite pretenders. So this is one piece of evidence showing that, as in others we've examined, Moses' prophecy had immediate as well as far future application. Yes, it is a messianic prophecy looking well into the future, but it also had immediate application in the lives of Israel. They were to listen to the prophets sent by God, not to the pretenders in Canaan, where they were going. The third characteristic is that this prophet will be like Moses. Still in verse 15. A prophet like me. As I've stated, Moses was a prophet in his own right, as well as a type of Christ. In fact, his role as a messianic type would make for a fascinating in-depth study all its own. And this cuts both ways. If Moses prophesied a prophet like himself, then that means that he, Moses, would be like the Messiah, a type of him. That is, Moses already met every requirement he was listing for this future prophet. And if this future prophet would be like Moses, then, in addition to the characteristics already on our list, he would also be uniquely intimate with the Father. If he's like Moses, Moses had a unique intimacy with Yahweh that no other prophet had. And the Lord said it himself. When the Lord was dressing down Aaron and Miriam for speaking against his, quote, servant Moses, end quote, in Numbers 12, he said to them in verse 8, this is Yahweh speaking, with him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? That's Yahweh describing his relationship with Moses. Secondly, this prophet will be a lawgiver because Moses was a lawgiver. Moses brought down from Mount Sinai God's law. Christ Jesus, in Matthew 15, said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." So Jesus, as it were, completed the Mosaic law. But in addition, he brought his own laws. For example, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians wrote, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Galatians 6:2. For this prophet to be like Moses, he must be a mediator. Moses mediated between Yahweh and the children of Israel. And as Paul writes in 1 Timothy, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. The prophet must also be a deliverer. Moses delivered the Israelites from bondage and to the promised land. Christ Jesus delivers believers from the penalties of sin and to an eternity with him. And finally, final in this list. The list could go on. He must be a judge. During the Exodus, Moses sat as the highest court in the land, judging disputes between the people. The risen Christ, Jesus, sits on his throne judging the sheep from the goats. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. And the passage goes on to express the details of that process. The sheep representing believers, the goats representing those who have rejected Christ. So yes, Christ Jesus will be all of these, a judge, deliverer, mediator, lawgiver, and even more than Moses, uniquely intimate with the Father. Now, item 4 in our characteristics of the prophet. He must have authority. We get this from verses 16 to 18. Key in it. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. When, as it's recounted in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the Lord came down to Mount Sinai before all the people of Israel, the sound and fury of it was, not surprisingly, terrifying. Imagine the full power and majesty and glory of God sitting atop that mountain, and the people were terrified of it. And they cried out to Moses, as it were, please don't make us go through that again. In Deuteronomy 5:27, the people said, implying, you, Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it. They were saying, in effect, we want to hear the true word from the Lord, but we just can't take it firsthand. We need a go-between, someone with the authority of God, but who won't scare us to death. And God's answer to that request was, you have chosen wisely, grasshopper. Yes, indeed. You need a go-between. You need someone with my authority, but someone you can handle, someone in the flesh. The Son of God, even Jesus the Christ. Number 5, the fifth characteristic, is that he must be obeyed. The Lord God in verse 15 says, you shall listen to him. It goes without saying that if a prophet speaks ex cathedra, that is, literally from the chair, that speak with authority, infallibility with God, or for God, then his words must be obeyed. They are God's words. This is one of the reasons for the transfiguration of Christ before the three disciples. With Jesus revealed to them and in all his heavenly glory, the Lord God said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Pay attention. Obey him. Do what he says. And the sixth characteristic is that of this prophet is that he will speak only God's word. In verse 18 it says, I will put my words in his mouth. Now of course this doesn't mean that the prophet can't discuss the weather with his friends, but that he cannot replace the Lord's prophecy with his own. Look at Deuteronomy 18:20. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. It is a form of idolatry for a prophet to claim he speaks for God when he doesn't, in that he's setting his own opinions above the thoughts of God. It's blasphemy in that it reveals his contempt for God. It's heresy because his words are not those of God. And it's sin because he's a liar. One might argue that being God, this would have been impossible for Christ Jesus. But when he came to earth, he gave up some of his godly privilege and became subservient to the Father. Now, the seventh characteristic, obedient to God, which we find in verse 18, this is related to number 6, which is speak only God's word. But it goes beyond just what the prophet speaks. If one characteristic of this prophet is that he must be obeyed, well, then it follows that he must in turn be obedient to God himself. Beyond the words, he must live in obedience to God. Jesus himself delineated between the two. In John 12:49, he said, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." But in John 14:31, he said, "So that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." Jesus, the prophet, was obedient to his Father in all things, both in word and deed. Finally, the prophet, like Moses, must certify himself. That is, quite simply, his prophecies must be true. In our passage, Deuteronomy 18, says, "How will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How will we be able to delineate between a true prophet and a prophet, a false prophet?" Well, let's read Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 to 22, the end of the chapter. "You may say in your heart, 'How will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?' Well, here's how. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." When Nicodemus came to Jesus, this was his starting point. This man in John 3:2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." The way for a prophet to certify his long-range prophecies was for his short-range prophecies to prove true. And this Jesus did. For example, he told his disciples precisely what would happen regarding his arrest, his trial, his execution, burial, and resurrection. It all came true, just as he said. So because of that, we can believe what he said about the long-range future. Things that happen even future for us. Christ Jesus indeed certified himself as a true prophet. Let's close by reading how the writer to the Hebrews compares Jesus to Moses. Deuteronomy 18 declares that a prophet like Moses will come. The writer of Hebrews shows in Hebrews chapter 3 how Christ is superior to Moses. He begins his letter, or actually his sermon, pointing out that Jesus was superior to the angels. And here, in Hebrews 3, beginning with verse 1, he explains why Christ is superior to Moses. No small thing for the Hebrews. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. That is, Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ, verse 6, Christ was faithful as a son over his house, not a servant, but a son, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Moses indeed was a faithful servant over the house of God. Christ built that house. He was the son. So, the prophecy in the Pentateuch is true. The prophet did come like Moses. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. And he was not just like Moses, he was superior to Moses in all things.